Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class and the Breakfast in the Class sponsorship marathon that we're going to go through here. I also had spent one day abroad working out an opportunity to speak for an organization that does amazing things. And in that one day, I came back to a stack of papers. So we've got the papers from today. We've got these papers over here. But I feel like it needs to be announced. We have today a super deluxe Breakfast in the Class, dedicated in celebration of the birth of their granddaughter, Nelly Neima Bat Rachel Leah, to Danielle, and Albert Haddad by Nelly and David Haddad, Haddad, but the old way is Haddad, right? Mazal Tov and Mabruk, congratulations. We also have her hopefully best friend, who will eventually go to Sam together. Breakfast in the Class is also sponsored by Bobby Shamsi, dedicated in honor of his wife, Alyssa, in celebration of the birth of their daughter. Mazal Tov, Mabruk, Mubarak. I'm looking forward, by the way, years from now, when they're besties in school, someone's going to pull up this Breakfast in the Class and send it to them, and then I'm going to get a message, I don't know if I'm going to have a phone at that point in my life. Okay. Maybe it'll just be in my goggles, we'll just flash across. Okay. Breakfast in the Class is also dedicated for speeding complete for Hashem, for Eliyahu Shom Mazafu, to name. The Breakfast in the Class for this entire week is dedicated by the Torah Center. Silver donors, Anna and Adam Amsalem, in honor of their parents, Kenny and Wilma Ashendorf and Michelle Dom, and their beautiful children, Stella and Samuel. And Adam was just here in the back corner. So I'm nodding in his way, even if he needed to step out for a minute. Okay, also, we have Breakfast in the Class dedicated by AJ Kidney and Renewal in honor of our partners, MJ Safra, saving lives together, one kidney at a time, or if we do very well, two kidneys at a time. Breakfast in the Class is also dedicated in loving memory of Nazira Ajmi, Lilishmat Nazira Bad Rosa, sponsored by the Ajmi family, and as well dedicated in loving memory of Lilishmat Yeshaya Shmiel Zev Newman Ben Rose for his 5-year yahrzeit, sponsored by Silvana Mander. Silvana, we got to meet your grandchild the other day in Shul. It was very, very special to be able to see the next generation. Breakfast in the Class dedicated in loving memory of Faroch Shoshani, Lunishmat Faroch Ben Spat Sultanat Yosef Alevi on Askara, sponsored by her grandson Emmanuel Zara, who we cannot wait for you to get back to Beit Knesset. I know your recovery is heading along on your getting your phys ed on your leg. Now we're looking forward to seeing you, Bezat Hashem, in the shul and on the court, baby. Also, Breakfast in the Class sponsored by Yaakov Shirazi on the occasion of Rosh Chodesh Nisan Latzlacha B'Kol B'Kol for success in everything in honor of their son Solomon Shlomo Yosef Ben Leah's 30th birthday. Up to 120 loads of health, happiness, B'sorot Tovot. May you stay in the path of Torah, Chupah Ma'asim Tovim, from Laura and Maurice Yosion. Loving memory of Soraya Ben Sion Banafeshe, Sheha. In loving memory, Lunishmat Sipora Bat Sipora, sponsored by Jonathan Banafsheha. Hazaku Baruch, dedicated love memory learners by Zerab and Frida, sponsored by the Ajmi family. Okay, my friends, let us begin. The Pasuk tells us something interesting. It tells us about the sacrifice that a man has to bring a woman has to bring after she has given birth to a child. And the Pasuk says, Echad le'ola ve'echad le'chatat. She brings one korban for Ola, one korban as a complete burnt offering, and one ve'echad lechatat, and one as a sin offering. Various commentators discuss what is the offering that we're talking about, echad le'ola, right? What's the Ola and what's the chatat? The Ola, we can understand, is a korban of thanks for the baby. Beautiful. What's the korban chatat? What sin did she do by having children? The Gemara says one answer to this question is that during the time of childbirth, she says, you know what, this is so painful, I can't do this, I'm never going to be with my husband ever again. And because she swears that in the throes of childbirth, right, we want to undo that statement, the sin of that statement. This is the Korban Chatat. That's how some explain it in the Gemara. Question is, what exactly are we referring to? What kind of sin are we referring to over here? What has she done? What has she said? And generally, the response to a neder is hatarat nedarim, right? It's not a korban chatat. So what's going on? And I actually just had the privilege and the pleasure to be able to marry Annette and Adam. And under the chuppah, I gave one answer to this question. Annette Cohen got married to Adam Friedman from South Africa to be able to get a chance to see that whole South African crew who are now our besties. Barry and Karen, and as well, Baruch Hashem, Joey, Mindy, the Cohens, who are pillars of the community over here, Ishtabach Shemo, it's very, very special. Now, my friends, and this is really important, one of the ideas that I explained over there is that you know what the sin is? In the Torah's eyes, the marriage, a marriage is so important, it's so holy, that it is a sin for a person in that marriage to say, I don't want to be with the other one. It's not about the neder per se. It's the sin of not wanting to be together. The Torah held the connection in marriage to be so important that statement is considered like it needs a hatat. And I said this under the chuppah, which is, again, a super powerful idea, because normally most people look at Torah and they think the Torah is all about like religious type things, praying and learning and, you know, and giving tzedakah. They don't realize that so much of the Torah is about leading beautiful lives, to become the best humans you can be, to build the best relationships that you can. That's at the forefront of what the Torah says. The Torah teaches us that, God forbid, if someone gets divorced, the Mizbeah HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears. This idea that a husband and wife have the closest level of relationship possible in the world, that should be broken by someone saying, I don't want to be with you. That's something that Torah sees as a sin. But we have a Christian understanding of the word sin. And therefore, we don't look at the word sin in the way that we should. What does the word sin actually mean? The Pasuk says, Lehachti et hamatara. What does that mean? To miss the target. So when we talk about a chet, a sin, perhaps in Christian terms, we're talking about something dirty, something shameful. When we're talking about a sin in Jewish terms, we're talking about something that requires a recalibration. We're talking about you having missed your mark. Now, if you see it in that light, you start to understand why a woman would bring a chatat for having made such a declaration. And let me share, because I think that this is really important. There's a famous question. Rashi quotes a very powerful idea. Echad le'ola ve'echad le'chatat. Rashi says, Lo hekdima hakatuv ela le'mikra'a. When the Torah said, one for ola, one for chatat, okay? One for a ola korban, one for a sin offering. Says Rashi, Lo hekdima katuv ela lemikra. We only put ola first in the reading. Lemikra. Aval hakrava, but to sacrifice, which korban comes first? Chatat kodem leola. Kach shaninu bezevachim. The Gemara Zevachim, page 99, 89, the Gemara over there says that the korban that you bring first is a korban chatat. That the sin offering comes first and then the ola. So Rashi just leaves us with that. We only put it first for the reading, not for the actual sacrificing. Well, if the sacrificing is second, then why isn't the reading second? So I want to share with you something that I think is unbelievable. And the answer is something that maybe I think goes to the heart of all self-improvement, of all good living. Before a person can bring a chatat, they have to read about the ola. The ola represents a person in their most spiritual form. The ola, as we know, the entire korban is burned on the mizbeach. There is no food that you're eating, not for the Kohanim, not for the people. It's kol kula kalil Hashem. It goes up all completely to God. So the Ola represents the highest form of sacrifice. In order to be able to bring the Chatat, you have to have the Ola first. You need to read about the Ola. You don't bring the Ola first. You have to read about it first. And let's try and understand and unpack what that means. Ola represents the person in their ideal state. What's the chatat? The sin offering is the directions, the things that you need to do in order to be able to get to your ideal state, correct? But in order to be able to bring that korban, what do you first need to have? You need to have an ideal state. You need to see, contemplate, understand, visualize, head towards an ideal state. Until, perhaps it could be said even better, until you have the ola, you don't have the chatat. Give you an example. One of the most beautiful differences between men and women can be shown when men and women get into a car. They get into a car, and the woman says, you know, we need to go to this restaurant or that place or my parents' house or wherever, this is where we're going. And the guy will start driving before he has the directions. There is very few things on this earth that is more annoying to women than this. Why are you driving? Maybe we're going the other way. The man just wants to go. Okay, you find out that it's the other way, I'll turn around. Yeah, but then you're further from where you were, right? Amazing. What an amazing difference between men and women. I do this all the time. I start driving. My wife is like, where are you going? And you know what's so annoying? It's so annoying that they're right. It's so annoying. But they are, they're right. But we're also right. We're also right. Directionally, we're wrong. But the idea that a man wants to go, and I don't yet know where I'm going to go, but I want to be driving. I want to be in the mode. I want to be in the zone. There's something right about that. Do you understand this point?
No.
You can't, because you're a woman. For you, the only purpose, the only aim is to get to the destination. For us, it's about the journey. No, I'm joking. For us, right, a man wants to already be moving, driving, acclimating themselves to the point. I want to start. I want to be in the zone of drive. The directions I'll get in a minute, but I'm already in the path, in the method of what I need to be doing. So, as an example, when we look at this pasuk, we start to see something that I think is incredible. By the way, you know, this is just one tiny example of the difference between men and women on an essential, on a soul level. It manifests in something stupid, in something silly, but it's one of the key differentiators between men and women. Like, on a biological level, the man's contribution to the process of giving birth to a child are millions and millions and millions of opportunities for the seed to become a child. What happens on the inside, one of those millions of opportunities is what clicks and what actually becomes the child, right, within the woman's womb. Men are not about limiting possibilities. Men are about potential, and women are about actual. The man lives in the world of potential. He's not limited. Not limited by directions. Not limited sometimes by logic. I'm going. Where are you going? I'm going. It's a silly manifestation of something which is deeply true about men in general. And the sooner people understand these fundamental differences, the easier they'll have in terms of shalom bayit. My friends, why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you because I feel that there's a huge problem that we could potentially, I don't know if I could say undo, move away from, I don't know what the right word is. Let's understand. Until you know that you're going to Brooklyn, you don't know that you're driving in the wrong direction. In fact, therefore, what makes the chatat the Ola. What makes the Chatat a Chatat is the Ola. Do you hear that? Once you've worked out where you want to get to, now a direction you're taking can be a missed direction. If that's what Chatat means. How do I miss the direction? How do I miss the target? By first creating a target. Now, let's try and understand what this means in actual terms. Rashi now, let's go back to the words of Rashi, and now we see Rashi in an illuminated manner. When it comes to the hakrava, the actual act of bringing the korban, what comes first? The chatat. But limikre'a, to define, to state where I'm heading, that you need the ola first. How many times is a person heading on a path of self-betterment, but they have not yet stated their final destination? They have not painted for themselves a picture of where they want to, where they need to go. Ola comes from the word aliyah, to rise up. So limikre'a, before we start the journey, we need to speak out what? Ola, where am I heading? My friends, if I could, I'd ask you to try and dial in to the visual of this idea. You want to be able to improve as a husband, as a wife, as a child. You want to be able to improve your tefillah. You know what you need to do? You need to go shopping. Have you ever gone to a store and you saw a suit or dress and it would be perfect until you see the price tag? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever had that? You see this beautiful suit. Wow, this color, it goes amazing. You know, with that tie that I have at home and ready, that would be amazing. This for my wedding would be, this for my Sheva Berachot, perfect suit. Oh my gosh, these shoes. Now that you found the shoes, now that you found the dress and they're $5,000 more than you wanted to spend, some people are like, oh, I can't afford these shoes. Other people realize that now I know what I need to look for. Because I can promise you one thing. That suit is that suit. But there'll be another version of that suit that costs 20% of how much this one is. You now found the color. You now found the style. You now found the length. You now found the trim on the shoe. You have so much of what you need to be able to now look for what you want. And you know what? You'll find something based on that vision. My friends, you want to improve your prayer. How do you improve your prayer? Close your eyes tighter? Sway harder? You know what you do? You find someone who prays like a mensch. You observe them. And then you think to yourself, that's going to be me. You see someone who does an act of selflessness. In the way that they, and by the way, selflessness, we always talk about, it's not only in money, right? Tzedakah is not only cash, donations. You see someone who's just being harassed by a doorman, by the security in the airport, and you lost your temper already. And you see them with a smile, speak nicely, and you think to yourself, I wish I had that man's patience. Do you ever have this? My friends, we need to go shopping. And what are we shopping for? We're shopping for an ola. We're shopping to be able to have lo hekdima hakatuv ela lemikre'a, to state, that's where I'm going, that's what I want. Once you know what you want, you can define if I've taken a path that's taken me away from that. Once I've defined ola, I can define chatat. Now I go and I bring the chatat first. And I end up with the ola. My friends, I want to share as well a second part to this idea. The first part is that in life, what we need to set for ourselves is, we need to shop for, is destinations. I had a young woman sitting at my table with a newly married couple. Anyway, so I asked them, you know, I haven't seen you guys around. They're like, oh yeah, we just went on our honeymoon. We waited after our wedding, you know, to go away. Obviously because of the halachot that are implied by after, post the wedding. You know, ideally a person should not be going on their honeymoon right after their wedding. You know, because obviously you put yourself in a precarious position. The wife is a nida after they get married, you know, and then they go on a vacation together. Obviously, how hard is that going to be? How difficult are they making it for themselves? In fact, that's why they used to have the Shabbat Chatan. They moved it from before to after the marriage. Ashkenazim do it before, the Shabbat before. We do it the Shabbat after. One of the reasons is we want people to stay because they're putting themselves in sometimes an impossibly difficult position. They're away together. They just got married, and she's forbidden. You know, so it's very, very hard. I always encourage people. This is the way to start your marriage. You know, take 1 week, relax, rest up from all the things of the wedding. Do your Sheva Berachot, however many you want to do. I care less about you having 7 Sheva Berachot than I care about you being in a very difficult situation of Nida. It's obviously very difficult. Either way, but this girl, she's like, oh, they come back from their honeymoon 2 months after their wedding. And she's like, oh, tell me about your honeymoon. And the couple were like, oh, nobody wants to know about the honeymoon. She's like, no. She goes, no, you don't understand. She says, I'm preparing for my honeymoon more than I'm preparing for my wedding. I was thinking to myself, I have to have a conversation with this person. You know, I need to tell her, right, that maybe you read about the honeymoon first, but le mikra, you know, but you need to get married first. Why? Why does she want to hear about everyone's honeymoon? She says she's shopping for ideas. She wants to know where she wants to go. When the time comes. My friends, the first idea here is that a person cannot really grow unless they have a destination. And therefore, the process of teshuvah is not what you need to be focusing on yet until you know where you're going. And by the way, you don't only have to shop in one store. There is an idea that says Aseh Lecha Rav means make for yourself one rabbi. But when it comes to this, you can have many rabbis and many rebbetzins. You can find the person that does chesed to the level that you could only even imagine. You said, that's what I want to do. You can find the person that has patience. You can find another person who never loses their temper. You can find another person who excels in prayer, another person who excels in Torah learning, another person who excels in teaching Torah, another person who excels in Hachnasat Orchim, this person visits the sick, that person helps take care of special needs children. Amazing. You can have many, many rabbanim in this area, many rebbetzins. And you set for yourself goals, at least in your mind. And then you ask yourself, not what do I need to do to get there, but what's getting in my way? Because automatically Judaism believes that you were built to be a great person. We're less about what I need to do and more about what I need to get rid of in my life that was holding me back. As we explained last week, that's why there are far more negative commandments in the Torah, you shall not, 365, than there are positive commandments in the Torah, 248. Because perfection is more about not doing those things than it is about doing those things. Why? Because we believe inherently that a person is good. That's what Judaism is based on. Very different to Christianity in that way. Now, since that's the case, we now arrive at the second level of this, and the second level of this is what we're going to end with. There's another reason why a destination is so important to set for yourself. Teshuvah, in many people's hands, is a destructive process. They're very busy talking about all the terrible things that they did. Thinking about it, talking about it, repenting for it. But you know what happens sometimes when people dwell on their mistakes? They don't get out of it. The Pasuk says, that David HaMelech says, Chatati Negdi tamid. My sin is always in front of me. You know what happens to a lot of people whose sin is always in front of them? They can't get past their sin. Their sin is always in front of them. Not just as a pious thing, but as a destructive force. What makes the process of teshuvah constructive instead of destructive? Because we all need to improve. We all need to undo our sins. Everyone. That's the mitziut. We all have things that we've done wrong. So everybody needs teshuvah. How do you make sure that teshuvah is constructive? Listen carefully. Judaism teaches that a person is really not supposed to be spending time looking behind them. In fact, that's what the Malach tells Lot and his wife, don't look behind you. Look forward. Look into the future. Don't spend time dwelling on the past. But all of Teshuvah is effectively dwelling on the past. So how can Teshuvah not be a negative experience? And listen to the answer, my friends, and it's so powerful. The minute you have set yourself coordinates through the Mikra'ah of Olah, I've decided that's where I'm going. And now I know in order to get there, I need to get rid of my chatat, my sin, my mistake, my bad character trait, my, you know, impatient nature, my, you know, narcissism, my, you know, whatever it might be. I know I need to get rid of that. Now your teshuvah does not dwell in the past. Now your teshuvah is not about what was. Now your teshuvah is about what could be. So what changes a chatat from being a negative thing from your past that drags you down, that holds you back, is the statement of intent, of direction. And the minute I put it over there and I know I need to cut these bags off of my, off of what's dragging, what's holding me back, that now becomes an exercise and an investment in the future. Says Rashi, Lo hikdima hakatub, ela lemikra. The Torah only wrote it down in order for you to be able to state it, to say it. Aval hakrava, when it comes to the actual act, what do you need to do? The chatat kodem leola. Because how many people, my friends, not only do they state where they're going, do they have a direction, do they have a goal, but they fool themselves into believing that they are already at that goal. In practice, once you've stated it, you now need to get busy with doing the work to be able to make sure that you actually are where you say you are. You know, Apple made a product. It's called the Apple Vision Pro. Seems to have failed quite miserably. $3,500. Biggest mistake Apple ever made is having simultaneously a $3,500 product, which does a very small amount of things to improve your life. And simultaneously, while having a $3,500 product, they also have a 14-day return policy. You could understand how these two things would operate against one another. But I thank Apple for developing the Apple Vision Pro, not because I have a pair, but because I think that that concept is a beautiful concept for us humans to be able to think about every single day, where your life is your life, but there's a possibility to put on a pair of glasses and to see a very different thing in front of your eyes. I don't know if it's a technological thing, but it is definitely a spiritual thing. The great prophets were called chozim, seers. And I think that the great people of our lives, the people that we meet in our lives, What is great about them is the fact that they are seers. Not that they could see the future, but that they could see a future. I will end with a story that I've said many times. When Rav Gifter was a young man, he had in his bedroom a mirror near his bed. And along the outsides of the mirror, he cut out pictures of all the great Gedolim, the great leaders, the Torah leaders of that day. Put their pictures all around the outside of the mirror, the frame. And then he wrote in big letters in the middle of the in the middle of the mirror, which would be right above his head when he stood in front of the mirror. Why not you? I don't know if anyone here would do that today, because most of us don't have printed pictures. Some of us don't even own scissors. We do most of our cutting and pasting with neither scissors nor glue.
That's a man thing.
Neither scissors nor glue. But you don't need the mirror in order to have the Apple Vision Pro version for yourself. You know, the only question you have to ask now is whose pictures are you cutting out? Also, throw out the other part of the picture. They're liable to think that you're an axe murderer if they find cut up pictures in your apartment. So you might want to throw out the rest of them. But decide for yourself, who are your role models in each of these areas of improvement? And then every single day, you lemikre'a, you read about the olah, about the aliyah, about rising. And then the hakrava, you bring, you sacrifice something. You come closer through your process of beginning to better the things that you're getting wrong, or that are causing you to miss that target of why not you. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashia Omer, Ratzah